Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey. I'm losing my voice. We're back. We're black. We're brown. Ambition. We're extra brown in the studio today. It's not just me and Mandy. We got a guest in the stew. But first, Mandy, how are you, girl?
I am doing well. I spent the last 2 hours undoing the weekend that happened to my house.
Aww.
With my two kiddos. So, you know, doing, and I'm sure that's somewhere in both of y'all's book, outsource that ish. But you know what? It was meditative. It was.
To clean up.
Yeah, doing good. How are you? Where are you, my little firefly just buzzing all over?
So yesterday I got an award from Hallmark Mahogany, which was really awesome.
Oh yes, you look so pretty.
Thank you.
I had
Hallmark has this like black and brown brand called Mahogany where they really celebrate the brownness of it all.
I did not know. When you said Hallmark, I was like,
Buying Mahogany cards, because if you go into like, you know, Target or Walmart, whatever, you'll see a section, the Hallmark section, but then you'll see a Mahogany section where there's actually black and brown faces on it, which I love. And so that's where I get my cards from. And so, yeah, they had this inaugural event where they just celebrated 28 like black innovators and honorees. I was sitting next to, I don't know what they identify as, so I want to be respectful. I was sitting next to them. Their name is X. X created this algorithm or tool that helped Google identify the different intonations in black and brown skin.
Wow.
Which I was like, how am I here? Because the hell? X is over here changing the world, you know? So it was amazing. It ran the gamut from Pinky Cole was there, which is amazing. Fantasia Barrino spoke. She was just, oh my gosh. We'll talk about her speech later, about how she shared how she's lost her fortune again for the third time. So I was like, what?
Pre-Color Purple?
Okay.
Or you know what? Okay, that kind of tracks, but yeah, go ahead.
So it just was really awesome because we're black and brown women, especially black women. This is a room full of black women, kind of like commune. People are just loving on you. Just, you're so amazing. No, you're amazing. Yes, yeah. Dress. Yes, hair. Okay, nails.
Yes. You know, it's just,
so it was just awesome. And so to continue the awesomeness, we have an amazing guest today. We have Rachel Rogers, who is a friend. So
in her pearl banana glam.
You might have heard of Rachel, but I mean, all of y'all have heard of We Should All Be Millionaires. If you haven't, what rock have you lived under? Yes. Rachel's mission is to help historically excluded groups, including women, people of color, queer people, and people with disabilities build their businesses and become millionaires. If you've never heard her speak, you are missing out, okay? Since the inception of her company, Hello 7, she has helped hundreds become millionaires and thousands become financially free. We welcome Rachel to the stew. Hey, Rachel.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, I'm so happy to have you on. Like Mandy, I had that not so secret group, the Bad Bitch Support Group. It's like a group of like a handful of like.
Yes, you have told me many times.
Rachel's one of the bad bitches.
I didn't know that's what you called it though. What's it called again?
We just made that up. The Bad Bitch Support Group.
Okay.
It's accurate.
So it's just really awesome to just have like this group of amazing women who are doing amazing things. But what I love is that we mostly just focus on, oh, I'm tired. What'd your husband say? What about these kids? Like, certainly we talk about business and things, but it's just really support for like you holistically as a woman.
Yes.
And so I was like, yes, Rachel's going to be in the stew with us. So
How did that little group get formed and how long has it been going? Because I feel like that is so necessary, especially for the online entrepreneur or people who are working like super virtually. And I think that is, I think people listening are thinking, oh, I would love to do that. But yeah, how did it get started?
Well, why don't you tell Rachel, how did you, from your perspective?
Yes. So one of our members decided that this group needed to exist. And so she just emailed and texted friends that she thought should be in this community. So that's kind of how it formed. It was, it's very informal. It's just like a group of friends getting together and just deciding that we're going to be here for each other. And we're sort of like all kind of colleagues that knew of each other. Yes. There were some friend groups within it, but it was kind of like all just Black women who've accomplished a certain level of success in business. And she just, well, I was thinking 7 or 8 figures basically. And so, yeah, she just asked us to get together. And so we did.
Yeah. I don't think we thought it was going to form like this permanent group. I think we were just like, I'm tired. You tired? I'm tired. Come to your house. Okay, girl. And we just kind of like had this amazing time. And it was like, can we keep the party going? And so I would say it's been more than 6 months, maybe I think November of last year or December of last year of 2023. Yes. So yeah, it's been
I hope it lasts forever because that's such an intention. That's such an intentional way of doing the whole. Well, I believe in communities for every facet of life. Like, you know, I feel like for, so I have my mom group who's like, you know, they can be local, but not local. But then I have my, my super local mom group and the neighbors. And then I have my career, you know, entrepreneur kind of people. And like even a community, I just joined a, we don't talk about it too much, but I just joined a group, my first group therapy program. It's going to be running for 20 weeks because I need to find my people when it comes to high functioning anxiety. So I found some people. I found a group through my psychiatrist and I'm really excited. But anyway, I was just thinking about how like to make your own community around the thing that you feel like a little alone in or like a little lonely in. So I just think that's beautiful.
Yes. I mean, that's literally my whole business journey, to be honest. It's just creating the community that I craved and couldn't find, you know?
Well, let's start, let's jump in. Like, Rachel, like, just in case for the people who do live under a rock, hey, rock people, like, tell the girls, tell the girls a little bit about yourself.
So I am a former lawyer. I'm a mom of 4 children. And I am married also. And so I just, my first business was a law practice and I did that right out of law school because there was a recession in 2008. I graduated 2009. A lot of the jobs that were advertised to me my entire career, you know, schooling career were gone by the time I graduated. I'm like, how convenient is that? And I had 6 figures in loans to pay back. So I was like, okay, what am I going to do? So I did a clerkship for a year. And then after that, still not a lot of job options. And so I decided to create my own and just start my own practice. So I had my own intellectual property law and business law practice and eventually hired attorneys, hired team, scaled that up. And then realized once I got really good at it that, of course, I don't want to do it anymore, as we do, right? Get good at something and then quit. So then, but what they were coming to me for all the time, like my clients who were coming to me for, they were paying me for legal advice and legal work, they kept asking me for business advice, which I gave them. And a mentor of mine was like, stop giving that business advice for free. You need to be charging for that. So I was like, oh, okay. So I just started dabbling in like, you know, basically book a consult with me about business for $500 or something just to see what would happen. And there was a lot of interest. And then finally, I took on my first one-on-one coaching client, worked with her. Her business like exploded within 6 months. And so I was like, oh, maybe I'm good at this. And then I slowly transitioned into Hello 7, which is the company that I run now. And like you were saying, like I really built it because all of the entrepreneurial spaces I went into, first of all, most of the business advice for women was geared towards like hit 6 figures, your first 6 figures. And I was like, cool, but I did that already. And I'm still, money's still tight. So what else you got? What about that seven figures, right? Yeah, exactly. So I was like, and this is of course back in the day, because I started in 2010. So it was when, that was when I started my first business.
Is it really, can we not make 2010 back in the day yet, y'all? it was just a couple years ago.
14 years.
Wow. We're back to the same age, because this feels mean. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead. It just feels like an attack.
So, but back then, right, it was like everything was six figures. And I'm like, cool. But who got that seven figure joint though? Like, cause I want that one. Right. So like, tell me about how to build a seven figure business. Mm-hmm. Nobody was talking about that. Definitely not geared towards women. And so I was like, I started to discover these spaces, which like tech bros basically. And that's where I was going to get like to join their masterminds or going to events. And I, you know, was sexually harassed in those spaces. I was called the N-word by an employee after spending tens of thousands of dollars to be a part of this, this community. Wow. I've just experienced all kinds of fuckery. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on the podcast.
Yes, you are.
Okay. So yes, all kinds of fuckery. And so I was like, okay, I need a space with ambitious people who look like me, who are diverse, who care about having women on the stage, who care about having people of color on the stage. Like, you white guys are not the only ones making money, right? Because I see it online. There's other people doing it. So like, where they at and who they're masterminding with and how can I find them? And so I just decided to create the community that I was craving with Hello 7. So we've had a variety of programs over the years, but our biggest one now is the club, which is a membership community with diverse members who are building businesses, scaling businesses, making some of them making seven figures. We have some eight figure members now and people who are just starting out. So like basically, you know, climbing up the ladder to hit their revenue goals.
Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, BA fam. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. That's incredible. This is according to Indeed data and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 150 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Okay, it's smart. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/brownambition. Just go to Indeed.com/brownambition right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/brownambition. Terms and conditions apply. You need to hire. You need Indeed.
Like, what's your favorite kind of, because there's so many different kinds of businesses and styles of business. What's your like superpower, do you feel like, or what kind of entrepreneurs do you attract to the club?
Yeah.
Is it like run the gamut or is it sort of like online entrepreneurs? How does it shake out?
We have a great variety. I think we surveyed them once and we had like 130 different industries and careers like represented, types of businesses represented. But for me, I actually do feel strongly that we should build businesses around our superpower. So I love that you asked that question. So my superpower is definitely public speaking and like basically taking complex ideas and simplifying them. This is what I did as a lawyer and it's what I do in business as well. Like, okay, this business concept that I need to understand, how can I simplify it so that I can turn it into actionable steps. So I think those, that's what I'm good at. And public speaking, speaking to a crowd. I love like big groups, you know, and I love community. So, and I would say writing too is in there as well. And sometimes I think I'm a better writer than speaker, but I get complimented on speaking more. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, both of those things. So I basically just
people
built
don't like to read anymore, Rachel.
I know. Hence audiobooks. My audiobooks, you know what I'm saying? Sell like hotcakes. I mean, like the audio is
meet it, people where they are. Yes.
Exactly. And I mean, it's me too. I'm an audiobook junkie as well.
Me too.
So yeah. So anyway, so yes, I've built the business around like basically me speaking in groups. I really like curating community and having groups of people. I think when I've coached people one-on-one, what happens is I'll coach them. We'll help get rid of some of the mind trash. They'll start taking action. But then all the people in their life are sort of reinforcing who they used to be, the old thoughts, right? And so then it's like, by the next call, it's like, okay, they still have retained 10% of what I coached them on the week before, but now I got to re-coach them on everything else. It's like, I'm like, I need to get you in a community where you can be reflected back, you know, like who you really are, what you're capable of. You're surrounded by people on the same journey. So I figured that out pretty early on in coaching, that it's actually more effective if you can do it in community. So even if they are getting one-on-ones, I still like them to be in a community of other people also getting coached, because iron sharpens iron. So that's how I've always done it. Community is always huge. So community, coaching, and education, those are the three elements of every offer that we do at Hello's Heaven.
I love that.
Yes.
So I know your book came out. When did your book come out? 2021? Same year?
2021. Yeah, May 2021.
And so why did you write We Should All Be Millionaires? Who did you help to like reach? And I know you have a new book, which is like the workbook version of this book that's coming out. It's come out already or it's coming out?
It's coming out June 11th.
Okay. So yeah, tell us about like We Should All Be Millionaires and this new book that you have coming out.
Yes. So We Should All Be Millionaires. Why did I write it? I think I wrote it because why I do almost anything is because something's annoying me and I'm like, somebody should do something about this. And then after a while I get tired of hearing myself complain about it. And then I'm like, fine, I guess I'll be the one to do it. If you insist. So that it was basically the same thing with the book. Like I just felt like y'all, we're not even paying attention to our money. Like we need to focus on our money. We need to recognize our agency when it comes to our money. Like, there's a lot of, and we also need to acknowledge the factors out there that are all designed to keep people that look like us broke, right? We need to acknowledge that that's true and, you know, deal with the hurt of that. And at the same time, not take that on as truth, right? And recognize our own agency to create financial freedom. So, and it comes out like, your money is affected by every choice you make, right? The decisions that you make, the boundaries that you do or do not have, the people that you allow to take advantage of your time. Now you don't got time to make money because you're doing all this other stuff for your mama, your sister, your cousin. Everybody else's needs are prioritized instead of yours. All the excuses we make, all the things. I was just like, you know, sometimes I just want to take people, shake them a little bit, you know? So that's basically what I was doing in this book. Okay. I'm like, okay, here's everything I want you to know. And I was also unpacking my journey. Like, who did I have to become to become a millionaire from growing up, you know, very low income and struggling? What did it take? Like, how did I have to change who I am? How did I have to change how I was showing up? How did I have to change my beliefs in order to become a millionaire? I wanted people to be able to have a pathway to do that. And so it was really just me unpacking that in the book. And it really was cathartic. And I don't know if you found this too, but like, I think it's healing to write. Like I literally cried through some of the stories I was telling. Mm-hmm. Like it was like my own personal therapy. And so that's the first book. And then Million Dollar Action, which is the follow-up, is, you know, I've had hundreds of thousands of people messaging me for a couple of years saying, you know, I love this book. I'm, you know, I've taken action on certain parts of it. And they loved it. And, you know, it was great. And at the same time, I'm like, okay, but like, I would love for you to take more action. Like, let's see, how can you take action on every part? Not just like the part that you liked the most, like that one chapter you took action on. Okay, cool. But what about the rest? Right. So the workbook is really about, it's sort of taking action. It's Million Dollar Actions. Like, what are the actions that are required? And let's actually do them right now in this book you know, and some of these are a lot of exercises that I do with my coaching clients to help them to get results. So it's really deconstructing that and helping them go through it on their own so that they can start to create this. It ends with a $1 million plan, right? Like, what is the plan that's going to help you to build that wealth?
Okay. So you got to share some of those steps.
Okay.
You could share maybe, I don't know, one that someone could do right now. That's kind of like a baby step.
Yes.
And maybe one that you are like, oof, this is when they really turn it up to the next level.
Yes.
And it's like, not for me or anything, just like for everyone.
For me and for everyone.
No, I'm teasing you, Amanda, because you know, we were just talking about this the other day. It's just like, I mean, yeah, this would be great.
Yes.
For my friend.
Yes. So one of my favorite steps in the book is about like creating your vision, right? What is the life that you actually want for yourself? I think a lot of times we have these dreams and desires and we don't see them as real, or we don't think they're possible. So we don't actually plan around them. We don't actually say like, okay, how do I make that happen? It's just kind of like this esoteric thing that's out there. That's like, that could never be me. You know? Mm-hmm. And I grew up with family members too, who were always dreaming up business ideas, who were always dreaming up like big visions that they literally never even thought about taking action on. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, how can we make this tangible? So, and this is literally what I did along the way to like continue to grow my income, is I would just get in touch with like, what do I actually want? What are my desires? And so you get in touch with your desires and you create a list, like, what are the lifestyle upgrades I want? What are the changes that I want to make? How do I want to feel every day? How do I want to show up every day? And you just create that vision and write it down, right? And when we write it down, we're making it real. That's part of it. And then I want them to run the numbers on that. What does my dream life cost? Because sometimes we're like, well, I'd have to be a billionaire, or even being a millionaire. You might be able to have 90% of what you want without being a millionaire, you know, mm-hmm. like you don't even know what it costs. Let's find out. So it's like, I want one of those big, beautiful houses in this type of neighborhood. Okay, cool. Go run the numbers on what a big, beautiful house in that neighborhood costs, right? Mm-hmm. How much would that cost you monthly? And I make them do it monthly so that, because I think when we think of like, oh, well, that's a $1 million house. Cool. How much does it cost a month though? Because Who cares, right? Like, if you pay for it monthly. So what does that look like to like get the monthly number for all the different things that you want? And so then I have them add it all up and we figure out like, okay, now you know what your dream life costs. Mm-hmm. Now what are the action steps we need to take to make that happen and make it real? So it's like, I like putting numbers on things. Like, let's mm-hmm. just do the math on it, so that we can figure mm-hmm. out how do we get there. Because sometimes we think that number is way bigger than it is. Like, I need to make $500,000 a month, maybe, or maybe you just need to make another $20,000 a month, which that ain't that hard, you know? So that's one of the exercises that I love. Another one is really about their mindset, because mm-hmm. I always start with mindset, because so many times I've had clients come to me and be like, just tell me the action steps so I could get this money. Like, I just want to have the money like you have mm-hmm. the money. Just tell me the action steps. I just want to skip to the part where you give me the action. And I'm like, listen, I hear you. I get it. But let me tell you what you're not going to do. Any of the things that I tell you to do until mm-hmm. we deal with the mind trash, right? Like, until you deal with what's stopping you. You already know what to do half the time anyway. You're just not mm-hmm. doing it. Why? That's the question we need to answer. So that's actually what we deal with first in this book, helping people to unpack the thoughts. Like, what are the thoughts that you have? What are the stories that you're telling yourself that are preventing you from taking action? And we always have them. I have them right now, right? I just mm-hmm. spent some time this weekend identifying more thoughts that are holding mm-hmm. me back. And so I was like, okay, I'm taking action now. So, but you know, but I spent probably months not being aware of it. And, you know, so I want us to have exercises that we can use to help make it clear, what is it that's in my head that's stopping me from taking action? So that way, when you have that list of like, now you have your tangible to-dos, why are you not doing them, right? But when you deal with the mindset trash, you will actually start working that list, you know?
Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
I wish we could all just like put our heads on each other's shoulders and then kind of like run each other.
Yes.
I just feel like if we could take the us out, like the I out of the situation, we're so good at giving advice to everyone else and like wanting them to be great and build like all that. Like you were talking about the Hallmark thing, Tiffany, when you get in a room of black women, it's just like love and
yes.
warmth.
Yes, you got it, girl. You so fly.
Yes.
Meanwhile, I'm in the, you're in the mirror like, do I look cute today? And every yeah. woman is stopping you like, girl.
In like, the Uber, just like, what the hell did I say? That was so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I think if we just, I don't know, just had some kind of weird Frankenstein experiment, we're just like, let me borrow Rachel's brain for a day and I could do this. But short of that, a book is fine, I guess.
Well, that's why I love community, though. Like, that's why community yes. is so crucial. Like, we should never be doing this alone if we can avoid it. Mm. You know, like, mm-hmm. definitely get friends involved, recruit people. And I include stats yeah. about that in this book, too, about how if you can recruit a squad of friends and get them together and tell them what your goals are and make sure you're communicating on a regular basis about the goals, like, yeah. you are 90% more likely to accomplish mm-hmm. your goals, literally. If you do them with a friend, even just one friend, you know? Yeah. So
Too many of us feel alone. Too many yes. of the people that, too many of y'all listening, even if you're listening to this alone, I'm almost like, start a Brand Ambition podcast club where you yeah. just listen to the episodes
and
yes.
discuss it through.
Yes. That would be great.
Yeah. It just helps to have that. Cause I think our thought, like when we're in, when they're listening right now, I do this to say, I was listening to a podcast earlier and I'm like, I need to actually write something down from this because it sounds so good in the moment, but where's the, like Tiffany, when you say, when you teach something, you learn it twice or whatever.
Yeah. 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 When you teach, you learn twice. Spec? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's almost like when you tell someone about it, mm-hmm. you learn again. And I was like, who do I turn to? I just heard this cool thing. Mm-hmm. Husband's like, I can't take in any more information. I just want to watch videos on how to fix a Rolex watch that I don't
own. But, you know, not that I don't like, own. You're like, you need other things. Your squad. No, it's
one
true.
One day I'll tell the story of how he owned it for a day and I made him return it.
No, but how do you, Rachel, do you find that especially women of color or just people from historically excluded groups really struggle with even allowing themselves the space to dream?
Yes.
I find that people are like, what? I can't. I'm like, girl, it's in your own head. No one, you can literally say, I want to fly like a bird. It's allowed. But they're like, oh, I can't even. Like the other day, a friend of mine, she was like saying,
I want to fly like a bird is my favorite example. I'm going to start using that.
Like, you know what I mean? Because if you ask a little kid, like one of my nieces, Amelia, she told me she wanted to go to the moon. And I was like, okay, you know, but then she also told me, like, I want to meet Stevie Wonder. Because we sang her like the Stevie Wonder version of Happy Birthday. She's like, that's for kids too. And I was like, yeah. She's like, who sings? I was like, this man named Stevie Wonder. She was like, show me on YouTube. So I showed her on YouTube. She said, I want to meet him. And I was like, you can't meet Stevie. She's like,
she said, no more kids bops. Let's girl, get to the she was real like, artist.
She told me to Google where he lives. And I guess he like grew up in Pittsburgh. And then she told me to Google his mom because I guess she wouldn't make a play date with her mom. And honestly, it sounds so crazy, but I was telling a friend of mine who works with Stevie Wonder. I didn't know, but she works with Stevie Wonder's ex-wife and they're still very close. And I was telling a friend of mine, like, oh, my niece is so silly. She's like, no. Like next time I see her, cause we're doing business together, I'm going to let her know he's got a major yes. fan. And if, you know, Tiffany, if you bring her, she can meet him. I was like, wait, what? The Amelias of the world get what they want. And I told her, she looked like, okay, girl, you know, what a surprise.
Exactly.
I said Google Stevie.
Did y'all see the story about the kid in the Philippines who was yes. talking about Beyonce's his friend?
I love Beyonce. Yes.
And he was like, why now is Beyonce not?
That's his friend now.
Yes. Oh, she yes. sent him flowers and a note. And it was like, yep. why is Beyonce not coming to eat pizza with us? Obviously, she's our friend. She should come eat pizza with us. Like, yes. what?
That would be such a dope job to just be the floral, like, oh, the floral God. Minion for Beyonce.
First of all, I just need you to know.
Does she grow them in that place where they grow the flower in Black Panther?
You know, is that where? I'm just going to speak it into existence that one day I'm getting a bouquet from Beyonce. And when I do, I'm going to just fall out. And then once they bring the smelling salts and wake me up, then I'm going to do a whole video about it. But
yes, you have to get your Mimi on. So like, what can those of us who are like listening, who are really like struggling with just even in the secrecy of our own hearts, saying what we want because we're feeling we're undeserving or can't happen, whatever it is that we're telling ourselves, what is a way to kind of break free from just even saying the thing that we want? How can we do
that? One of my favorite coaching questions that I loved, well, there's two of them, but one of them is, what would I do if I wasn't afraid? Mm-hmm. Right? Like what would I do right now in these circumstances if I wasn't afraid? And it helps my brain to start just thinking about things and going there instead of doing what's practical. Because I think we create practical and it becomes just like a ceiling for us and a box even, you know? And I'm like, there's nothing practical about my life. When I look back at my life, right? The way that I grew up and the circumstances that I dealt with, like, you know, there was nothing practical about going from like paying for our groceries with food stamps to, you know, now having a significant net worth and becoming a millionaire, right? Like that was not a practical plan, you know, that I had from day one. I just didn't want to struggle financially anymore, right? So like I had that in my brain, but I didn't even think of trying to become a millionaire because it wasn't even something to think on. So like your dreams can continue to grow with you. But I have a whole section in We Shall Be Millionaires literally dedicated to telling people how to get back in touch with their dreams. Because sometimes when I coach clients, and I say, what do you want? Like, I always start, what do you want? Let me help you. I will help you get it. But like, first, you got to know what you want. If you don't know what you want, I can't help you. I don't know what to do with you. You got to go to my friend. She does life coaching. She'll help you figure out what you want. Then come here and I'll help you get it, you know? But sometimes they don't even know because they've not been asking themselves. They've never admitted it to themselves. They don't even know how to dream anymore, you know? And I saw something from, do y'all know Sonya Renee Taylor, who wrote The Body Is Not an Apology? She is an amazing activist, body positivity activist, and many other things, amazing poet, and a friend of mine. And I'm losing my train of thought. She posted the other day. What did she post, Lord?
Something about knowing what you want.
Yes, thank you. She said,
from one mom to the next.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Yes, mom brain is real. She was saying that, like, my desire birthed a movement. Like, I just wanted to create this poem for my friend who was feeling uncomfortable in her body. She has a disability. She's a Black woman. And she felt shame, right? Like, in a intimate relationship with someone that she was with. And, you know, she was like, she responded to that by writing this poem, The Body Is Not an Apology. And she gave this poem, I think back in 2013 or something, you know, 2014, something like that. And that poem became the birth of a movement. And she wrote recently on social media, like on the anniversary, you know, many years later, maybe it's the 10th anniversary of her delivering that poem for the first time. And you could see it on her Instagram. But she was like, my desire birthed a movement. Mm. So I'm going to follow my desires even more. I'm going to tap into my desires. I'm realizing the power of my desires. And I think there's something like spiritual about that. Like, I think God literally, or whoever you believe in, gives us these desires so we will take action. And maybe they're selfish. Maybe it's like, I just want a nice house and I want to drive a cute car, you know, or whatever selfish thing that you want. But in the process, right, in order to get that nice house or cute car, we have to figure out how are we going to serve other people, because they ain't going to pay us for nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And so in the process of me trying to create financial security for myself, I've now created a movement and a community that has helped so many other people. And so like, we think desires are selfish. No, no, no. This is God's design. This is way more complex and sophisticated than we think, right? It's not selfish. It's actually following your desires. It's helping you create a world that we want to live in. You know what I mean? So like, we need to really tap in. Like, our desires have so much power, both to create wealth, but to create, who knows, all kinds of things in the world, right? To like make this world so much better. And I think we are really disconnected from that. We're like disconnected from our bodies, the messages that we're being told, right? Like this internal wisdom that we have, we don't use it. And that is the key. So when people are like, what kind of business should I start? I'm like, what kind of business do you want to start? Right? Mm. What is calling to you? What is your interest? I don't care if you have zero experience. What's your interest? Right? Where are you
being pulled? They want the link in bio. They want the Amazon, the Amazon link in bio of like the things that they need. That's kind of how like the brain works now. It's like, what are you selling? Where can I get this? Like I got this specific scrubbing brush and now my home is spotless. Like that's my kind of TikTok that I watch. It's like clean talk. And I just feel shitty because I'm like, my house don't look like that. And
they don't want that either, like, low-key.
Listen, let's not talk about it. Yes, but like I think that a lot of people, and I'll put myself there too, like we sometimes will look or we'll look at other people living their lives on the internet, like we do.
Yes.
And sort of, and then it's like, oh, I want that too. And I want that. But it's like, yes. But what do you actually want?
But that's good. Follow that. Like, I actually encourage people to follow jealousy. If you feel jealous, like I used to feel jealous of like, wait, I just saw her buy a house and now she's on vacation. How'd she do that? I can't do both of those things in the same year, let alone the same month. You know what I mean? Like, how did she do that? Right. I wanted to know, how do you have enough money for both of those things? And so like figuring like, follow that jealousy is a signal, right? It's giving us information. It's not about the other person. It's about you. It's about you're seeing something that you want, some version of it. You probably don't want the exact same version as this person you're watching, but maybe there is some version of it that you want, you know? So like, and or, it's I mean, just about also listening. It's like,
yeah, for sure. I just mean like when you see someone who has like a vending machine business, do you really want a vending machine business or you just want the freedom that it comes with that or the passive income that comes with that? And I think we have these like trends of, you know, business like, oh, I saw this on IG. This person has a trucking business or whatever. And I want to go start that thing. But if you actually don't have a desire for it or like that, it's so much harder because it is hard to start and keep a business. It's harder to like keep it going.
I think this is good though. I think when you see some, like, let's take the vending machine.
Convince me.
Okay. So you see somebody who has a vending machine business. Cool. Mm-hmm. Right. You're like, okay, they have freedom. They don't have to like sit in a cubicle, which is what I want to get away from. Whatever it is.
Maybe they have freedom because we don't know because it's the internet. They can
So yeah, but they have something that I'm seeing that I'm interested in. So let's just follow that inkling, right? And so then maybe you start a vending machine business. And then the vending machine business, like, you know, maybe you make some money from it. There's things that you like talking to the customers. Maybe you like managing the business, but like going around filling the vending machines or whatever is not the part you like. Maybe, but it introduces you to entrepreneur, you know, being an entrepreneur, right? And introduces you to business. And maybe through that, you really love the retail stores that you're delivering to. And then you're like, you know what? That's what I want. I want to start a retail store. So it's like, follow those inklings because they're taking you down a path. Like Hello 7 is what made me a millionaire and what has, you know, it's like I was running a law practice because I wanted freedom. And I had a law degree and legal skills. So I'm like, okay, if I run my own law practice, I will have that freedom. And then I really didn't like practicing law, but I discovered through having my own legal business that I love running a business. Like that was super fun. I loved marketing. I loved talking to the clients. I loved educating them, right? So I figured out what I loved from it. And then I transitioned into this. Without the law practice, there would be no Hello 7.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Ooh, child, I'm like, I'm about to pass the collection plate. No, because it's true. Like, so for example, like I think about like my first book that came out, I self-published it. It's called 1 Week Budget. And I wrote it while the kids were sleeping during nap time when I was teaching preschool. And because I just had this inkling, because people, I knew I really loved teaching and I was really good at like basic financial, like money management. And people kept asking me and I kept getting annoyed. So I created a notebook where I was like, sit with me in this notebook. And then someone was like, why don't you make this like a book? And I was like, I guess. And then I'd heard about, they used to call it vanity publishing back in the day, which is like, you know, you just print your own stuff. And I met a woman who like, it was literally on the cusp of, there was this company called Create Space that had not been bought by Amazon just yet.
I remember them.
And so she's
them.
Like, you know, like you can vanity publish, but you can actually sell. And I was like, huh, okay. And I remember distinctly the divine God was very clear. He said, this book is going to make you a millionaire. I was like, wait, what? Hello? You know, because I knew from a little girl that I was going to be rich one day.
Wait,
right? And I was like, so I was very literal. I was like, oh, I'm going to sell enough books of this book. And it's going to make me a millionaire because of the book sales. First month, I sold 100 books. And I was like, oh, look at me on my way. Second month, I sold 2. Third month, 0. Fourth month, 0. Sixth month, 0, 0, 0, 0. I said, hold up. Hold up. Let me get Jesus on the main line because he had said.
But it wasn't
where
the
my
book.
Millions at?
That book taught me how to market. It taught me how to bring an idea to fruition. It taught me how to ask for help because I met a guy that was consistently selling a few hundred copies a month. I was at like a some little kid had invited me to like their career day. So I was talking at the career day. He spoke. I was in line with the kids. Like, hold up, my turn. Hi, hi, mister. I heard you say that. Oh, for real.
I love
it. I was in line to ask a question. He was like, you look a little big for fourth grade. I'm like, don't worry about all that. So you sell 300 books a month? How? And so, but it did make me a millionaire, but indirectly so, because I gathered all these skills. I mean, the Budgetista had so many iterations. I thought I was going to do one-on-ones. I thought, you know, and so now I'm just free flowing into whatever the next thing is. So I love that. I didn't realize that's what I was doing, kind of like following the inkling.
Yes.
And that, you know, there's this interest and then the interest births the next interest and births the next thing and the next person. And before you know it, you're like, wow, that initial, you're going to be a millionaire one day or whatever that thing is. I'm here now. You know, I used to live like a 45 minutes outside of Newark, and Newark is known for its international airport. And so every morning when I was driving to teach preschool, I would see the planes in the sky, and something said, one day you'll be coming to Newark because you're going to be getting on a plane all the time. Mm. And I was like, okay, sounds cute, but I'm about to go to like, you know, crack alley. Cause my where I taught daycare was dangerous, and you know, and like, okay, girl. And now I live in Newark and I'm always on a plane, and I'm like, oh. And so the inklings are, I think, divine downloads. And
yes,
so many of us don't follow them or too afraid to see where they're going to lead because they're not as crystal clear, but they're not meant to be clear, you know?
I agree. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to add up today, right? Like that somebody might have done the math on, well, it's going to take me, you know, I'm going to have to sell whatever, this many, you know, hundreds of thousands to get to $1 million. That's never going to work. Never mind. And then you wind up like taking longer to get down your pathway. Like, I feel like almost like these are little shortcuts for us, but sometimes we don't listen. And then we got to do it the hard-headed way, right? And trust me, I have hard-headed moments myself. So I know I have delayed, you know, gifts that were meant for me, things that were meant for me because I wasn't listening. But I think tuning in is really important. And I know it sounds hokey and people are like, eh, that didn't work. Just give me something tangible. And I'm like, trust me, it does work. I promise you it does. But there's some other tangible things you can do along the way as well. But tuning into your desires is very powerful.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as you guys are speaking, I'm like, no one ever told a little kid who wanted to start a lemonade stand, like, don't do that. That's dumb. You'll never make any money from that. Like, we encourage that discovery. Mm-hmm. Like, we know, or maybe we don't know. Maybe they'll start some new, like, discover some new flavor or whatever.
Yes.
But we get so much more, I think. Like less, we're more likely to say no to ourselves and to anticipate failure. And then you have that confirmation bias of like, oh, well, I see other people trying something and then not working out, but it doesn't have to be that way for you. But like, we'll like find other messages that sort of confirm our own doubts and stuff. So yeah, I get it. I totally get what you're saying. And I think that it's a lot of too, what I do in my career coaching. It's like helping women be comfortable with trying something different.
Yes.
And not having it be the thing. Like, this next job has to be the one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what if it's like one of many and that's how it's supposed to be? And we're not, you know, we have to sort of like change the story that we tell ourselves about the journey.
Yes.
And what that can look like.
I like to call it the thing before the thing. I'm like, girl, it's the thing before the thing.
Yes.
The
thing before the thing. You can't get to the other thing without it. Something else, another quote from Sonya Renee Taylor is, every story about scarcity is a lie. This is something she said on stage at my conference that I do every year, ROI. She was a speaker the first year and we had a conversation about, is it ethical to become a millionaire? Because I noticed that was a conversation that was always happening among Black and Brown people is like, we're supposed to hate capitalism, but we're okay with having businesses, right? Like, and so this disconnect in their brains is causing them to not grow their businesses. So I'm like, let's handle this. Let's deal with this. And so I had Sonia come, I had Rachel Cargill come, and we had a discussion about that. And that was one of the quotes that has been repeated so many times by myself and all of these people in my community. Every story about scarcity is a lie, right? So it's like, if this next job isn't, you know, it's not enough, right? Or if I don't have the thing right now, holding on so tightly to the dream and demanding it be today is scarcity, right? It's sourced from scarcity. If it doesn't happen now, it's never going to happen, right? That's a lie. You're just making that up. Make up, if you gonna make up things, make up useful things, okay? Make up helpful thoughts. Don't make up negative thoughts that discourage you, you know?
Yeah. It's so amazing how
we find your community so they can give you new thoughts.
Exactly.
I wish we could do ourselves the way we do like preschoolers and kindergartners, right? Because we tell them it's all possible. It's all this. It's all until third grade. None of that gonna happen for you. You're like,
dang, third grade. I wanted to be an astronaut in the third grade. I didn't really lose hope until about the 10th grade.
But you know, like we tell like young people that it's all possible. And then we look ourselves in the mirror and tell us, but not you, sis. Not for you.
It's so true. And actually, this is the funny thing that was happening. This last week, I was recording the audiobook for Million Dollar Action, this new book that's coming out. And I'm reading to myself my own words and my own coaching and coaching myself in the process and be like, girl, you see where you've been playing yourself? Like literally the words on the page were coaching me as I was reciting them. And then I just came home and was like, oh, I see where I've been playing myself. Like I believe it for my clients. I've believed it for myself in the past, but I'm not believing it right now with this new thing. Because that's what happens. It's like we get a new dream or a new vision and we go right back down to the bottom of not believing and having to go through this journey again. And so can I tell y'all what my new dream is? This is an exclusive.
I was going to ask you.
Exclusive.
Say it out loud.
Just for y'all. But no, and it's also for me, right? It's for exactly what you said, Mandy, to say it out loud. But, and this was the thing that I started taking action on this weekend because I realized like, oh, I've been playing myself. Like I'm doing the same thing that I tell my clients not to do. Another dream that I have is I want to start other businesses. Hello 7 is largely run without me, although I am involved. I'm just not as involved in the day to day. And I have a president who runs the day to day. And so I'm like, okay, well, what else could I be doing with my time? And I've been thinking about this vision. And I took action on it. And then I talked to my best friend about it, talked to my husband. I talked to all these people and they were like, I see it. And they were excited, but like, not really. You know what I mean? You know how you say it and you're like so hyped and they're not matching your energy. So you get deflated. Right. And I'm like, how is that any different from when I started Hello 7? Nobody saw the vision that I saw. It's a new vision. Why would they see it? Right. Like it's in my head. It's not in the world yet. So I'm like, actually, it was like I needed the words from my own workbook to coach me again and to remind me that like I don't need everybody to believe. Even my closest people, even the people I love the most, they don't need to hold this dream for me. I'm holding it and I believe it. And I know I have support and I know I want to do this. So like, what is it that I'm actually waiting for? So I was like, okay, I'm going to take action. So I took a whole bunch of action yesterday, just sent all the emails to like get this party started. But the dream is I want to create an inn. Like I want to buy an old inn, renovate it and turn it into this like hub of physical community for historically excluded people to just have this beautiful luxe space to go and to know that they are welcome, to know that their identity is celebrated and to just have dope things like beautiful art from historically excluded people on the walls and jazz playing. And, you know, I just have this whole curated vision of what the experience is going to be. And I'm like, I already identified the property and it's still on the market. I went to go see it in January, but I keep messing around. And now I'm like, you know what? Just do it. So I sent the email to the realtor yesterday. I talked to an architect, made an appointment. Like I just started lining up the ducks, you know?
I can't wait. I can see myself there already. I'm like, yes.
I was reading a book and it was like, I don't know, stories from entrepreneurs on advice and stuff. And like, I was just flipping through it and I stopped on a page and I hadn't heard of it, but heard of this woman, but she was a former editor-in-chief of Essence. And she has like three inns now. And I just like, I don't
know. Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
I don't know what her name is.
Is it the Aquaba? Oh, I know her.
Yeah, something like that.
She's got one in DC. She's got one in Brooklyn. Yeah, Brooklyn, and one someplace else. It's beautiful.
When you put together your mastermind of in owners. Yes. I'm just like, oh, she'll tell you it's possible because she did it. There's one in Brooklyn.
See,
like,
look what. Okay, let's just recap what just happened for people. Okay.
Sidebar, I also have her phone number, so just put that in the mix. I know what you're about to do. Go ahead.
Look at that. Okay, so I was brave enough to say it out loud. And then Mandy, you're pointing out, okay, here's a next step you need to take. You need to call this woman, see if she'll take your call and have a conversation with her. Tiffany already got the number in the connect. You know what I mean? You see what happens when you say it out loud? You get help. You know what I mean? Yeah.
In real time. Yes.
In real time.
I want to lose belly fat. I want to lose belly fat.
Make the brown ambition sweet.
If we get wishes happening, I'd like to lose some belly fat and I would like... No, just teasing. Go ahead. No, but I love that. You're right. Instantly, it doesn't always happen like this, but look what happens when you open yourself up for vulnerability. Then you open yourself up to also receive the things that you're needing for success. So that
yes. But you wouldn't have known about the woman if you hadn't like started Hello 7 and then changed your mind and not changed your mind. It's still going. Mm-hmm. But then you met Tiffany through that. And now you're here. And now it seems. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should stop here, guys, before we F it up. But like that is like the perfect. We did it.
You're like, it's not gonna get no better. Shut it down.
Just cut the video. Cut the video right there before someone says something else.
No, this is real. Honestly, it is such a testament to that the thing you're wanting. I always think to myself that, like, is it that big of a deal? Because you can literally be renovating and find like an old nickel from 1825 that's worth $200,000. I mean, like anything, you know what I mean? Like sometimes we think to ourselves, okay, in order to make $200,000, I don't know if you've ever used to watch like Antique Roadshow, where like I used to love to find out, right? This guy was like poor his whole life, was like, oh, I don't have any money. His grandmother passed away. On the wall, she had some blanket or something like that. It turned out to be some original Native American Hapachi, but it was worth $1 million. He wasn't poor his whole life. You had $1 million on your wall. And so many of us literally are navigating life in that way, where the thing that we're wanting is right there in proximity, but because we've already been committed to the narrative, if I don't have, you know, it's like the universe is like, I guess, honey. Meanwhile, $1 million sitting on the wall at Granny's house, just chilling, you know? And so
I'm
like,
clean my couch real quick.
But so many questions.
You know, say the things I call it getting my Mimi on. Like, I took the kids, my sister Carol has two kids and I've got a niece in Chicago. I took them to the White House. We went to Washington, D.C. and I had taken them to the White House, but of course we're outside the gate. And she like put her hand through the gate and Secret Service was like, no, no, no. And she was like, don't talk to me. I was like, girl, we will both be arrested. They'll catch us six. And then she said, why can't we go in? And I said, well, you know, see those men here, they're there to protect the president. She said, yeah, but you met the president. Like, girl, play with somebody else. I said, okay. Okay, I hear you. But I said, Amelia, you can't just go in. And she was really upset by that because she was like, it's not tracking. You sent me the pictures, girl. Yeah. And so because she told that to me, I was like, I had gotten invited back to the White House for the State of the Union this year. And the coordinator who invited me, I was telling her the story as a little kiki, like, oh, I brought my niece here a few months ago. And she was like upset and got in trouble with the Secret Service because she wanted to come in. And she was like, oh, you know, we do private tours. Just bring your family whenever. I was like, come again? She's like, yeah. And when I told Amelia, she was like, as I said, okay, so once again. When? But that's what I mean, is that like, if she had never said that, it's like, I had the scarcity mindset, you know, not her. She was like, I saw you at the White House. It's possible. Play with somebody else. And so because of that, we're going to the White House and I'm going to bring my family and we're going to get a private tour.
I love so, it. Listen,
she's
can
being
Amelia
Stevie
be
Wonder?
My life
she's going to the White House?
Is she taking new clients?
I know. My therapist always, she'll tell me, she's like, well, what would Amelia do? Because she's like my little alter ego because she hasn't been, the world has not told her no yet.
Yes.
You know? And I'm just like, what would she do in this instant? You know, she said she wanted to go to the moon and we all laughed. And she's like, joke's on you. She's going to be like 26.
Well,
like,
you can know Jeff Bezos. She can meet him and get on the rocket ships.
You never know.
It's possible. I was thinking that earlier, Mandy, when you said you wanted to be an astronaut when you were younger. And I was like, you could still be an astronaut now if you wanted to.
Yeah, you don't even need math. You just need, you know, to know a Bezos or whatever. SpaceX. That's one, or one way. Of them.
You know what I mean? There's options.
I might get there. I saw that Brad Pitt movie. We can see.
I love it.
Every story about scarcity is a lie. I'm just, I wrote that down. That's just so
yes. powerful. And that's the thing is like, just because the world has told us no before, it's like we don't even pursue our dreams because we're afraid to be told no again. And it's like, but you didn't die though from it. Like, it's not that serious. Just keep going. Just try it and just collect those no's until you get that yes, you know?
Rachel, where can the girls find your book? I know you said it's coming out in June, right?
Yes. If you go to hello7.co/million-dollar-action, they can find, there's a landing page there about the book, but you can also find it everywhere like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, your local Black-owned bookstore, all the places. So it'll be out soon. And, you know, I hope people go through it and really do all of the action steps so they can start to be in touch with their own desires and start building that plan for their beliefs to happen.
And where can they just pre-order connect with you? Now. Like on social media or wherever.
Yes. So I'm on Instagram, Rach Rogers ESQ. I still got that Esquire from the early days. Rogers with a D.
Mean?
It means lawyer. Just it's a fancy way to say lawyer.
I know, but it's still like Esquire. Like you need a Dick Tracy like hat and a pipe, I feel like.
And a suit. Like it makes me think of Carmen Sandiego. You know, I used to love that show.
Yes. That's a vibe. You worked hard for that shit. So hell yeah.
Exactly.
So Rach Rogers SQ on Instagram. Any place else that you'd like for people to reach out? They want to just connect?
Yes. Well, the Hello 7 podcast is coming back. So okay. I've been on hiatus for a year, but I got my life together now. So I'm going to. The podcast is coming back. So yes, so people can check me out on the Hello 7 podcast.
Awesome. Oh, this was awesome.
I'll try to play it cool. Like I don't already have the podcast downloaded. And wait, I won't play it cool. I'll just say that out loud.
No, thank
really
you so
fun
much
to
for being
meet you, Rachel.
Yes,
thank
this
you.
Amazing guest. You have been amazing. Even more amazing. Thank I mean, you. Of course I knew of you, you know, but like to get to know you better, like as a person, as a woman,
yes.
It's just been such a delight.
Thank you. This was so fun. Y'all are a blast. I would hang out with y'all every day.
Say less. let me know when the inn is open.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like yes. just let's let get
us
this know. Party
put
started.
Us on the early adopters yes. email list, whatever. Sign me up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have the best name for it too. I'm not gonna share it yet, but I'm so excited.
Okay. Oh, look at your face lighting up. Yes. You deserve. That's so cool.
All right, y'all. Well, if you enjoyed this episode, and we know you did. This is not for you to keep to yourself, right? Share with your mama, your cousin, your uncle, your baby sis, your big cousin, your work husband, whoever. Share with them so they can get they can let Rachel light up their life as well. And you know, we love a good review. Heavy emphasis on the good. So go ahead and drop a review so more people can find us. Okay? We love y'all.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.